everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca Stainer. And for this episode, we're talking to Sabirul Islam about his book, Build Your Confidence on Stage, Transform Your Aspiration for Public Speaking into a Lifestyle Profession. He is a world-renowned motivational speaker, author, facilitator, and coach. Sabirul Islam has inspired millions of people in 31 countries across the globe. He's developed the business board game, Teentrepreneur, educating youth on financial literacy in developing nations. He is British Bangladeshi and resides in the UK. Every aspiring speaker has one task, to master their communication and performance on stage. Through 14 years of experience and application, Sabirul has crafted the brand Build Your Confidence on Stage, a four-step process providing you with the tools and techniques to improve your passion and make money while doing it. In his brand, the four pillars of public speaking aim to instill aspiring speakers with the performance mindset, learning to control your content, your message, and the manner of your presentation, which you require. The four pillars are the speaker's psychology, the principles of public speaking, the performance masterclass, and the profession of a public speaker. These pillars will demonstrate how to overcome fear and anxiety, break general norms and stereotypes, analyse the pre, during, and post-performance techniques, and master the discipline and its practice. Everything you need to become an expert in your field and make an impact. Right, amazing. So thank you so much for joining us. If we jump straight into the book and start talking about it, it's called Build Your Confidence on Stage. So what was your inspiration behind the book and how did you get into public speaking in the first place?
Well, thank you very much for the invitation for this podcast. I think it's a really interesting question because when you try to sum it up in a couple of sentences, it's almost near impossible because it's almost your life's work being put into a book. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of build your confidence on stage, I have to really take you back to when it started in my teenage journey, because the whole concept of my career was focused around exploration. Whole concept was I understanding more about me, what I'm capable of, what the world has to offer to me. And public speaking wasn't in itself the go-to option because I didn't even think that was a potential career path or something that you could do. So when I got into business very young, I was 14 years old when I got into business. I ran it for 2 years. It was a web designing business. It was great. Great reward, and I learned a lot. And there was a great ambition from a lot of young people wanting to see exactly how I got into this, what I learned from that. And the concept of public speaking itself and me presenting on stage for the very first time came at the age of 17 when I talked about my experiences as an entrepreneur, what it felt like, what I learned, what was different outside the norm of the academic system, and how it really benefited me. And this is what really opened my eyes to the possibilities, because after one single event where I attended and spoke in front of 250 head teachers, yeah, I suddenly realized that there's a huge demand, that people want to hear your message. People want to hear what you have to say because you've done something different, something unique, something outside the norm, or purely because you have a story to tell. And I think the whole concept of the book itself, Build Your Confidence on Stage, is built and shaped around the ethos and values that everyone has a unique story. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a message. It's so important to learn how to package that information because it may not be relevant to the immediate person sitting next to you or your family members or your relatives, your friends, your immediate society. But there are those who may be other parts of the world who really need your message. And whatever that is. So for me, it was about this whole entrepreneurial journey, what I learned, what I did like about it, what I didn't like, what was my failure, rejection, all of this that opened the doors to the world of public speaking. And in the space of the first couple of years, I started speaking at about hundreds of schools across the UK. And in fact, when I wrote my first book, The World at Your Feet, that was also a big breakthrough to think that public speaking goes hand in hand with the message of the book. And when I'm talking on stage and there's a product on hand and you're able to inspire others and people are able to share, take that inspiration, but also capture it through the knowledge of the book, it made such a vast difference. And I think that when I've traveled the world as part of my Inspire 1 Million campaign, I did around 800 and In fact, I did exactly 867 events in 4 years in 31 countries around the world. And there was 1 million people in audience size that attended because we were keeping tabs on that as part of the Inspire 1 Million campaign. And I realized the question that would flow straight after these events was, how can we be more, not necessarily like you, but how can we actually present our message too? Because the way you present, the way you portray yourself on stage, the character, the persona, the image, it is so natural. It is so something that we want to be like. How can we go about doing that? And I realized that when you ask somebody a question, when you grow up, what do you want to become? I want to become a doctor or engineer. I want to become a banker. I want to become a pilot, so and so forth. But public speaking doesn't come into their mind that I want to become a professional speaker. And I feel that it's a gap there that I had to explore to understand that I know what I'm good at. And public speaking is what helped me demonstrate and unveil my true passion in life. And I feel it can do the same for many other people as well. It's just about having that courage to understand exactly what that message is and discovering who you truly are and the people you can impact. And I think that's what led to the inspiration of the book, that you can transform yourself, you can transform in multiple ways to understand that the message you hold can be packaged, and actually there is a lifestyle business around it as long as you know who the target audience is. So I take the readers on a learning journey across the four pillars of the book, so they understand more about courage, they more understand more about confidence, they understand about the industry, the actual performances on stage, and then how they can convert all of that into a lifestyle business. And that's how the book idea came about and how I got into public speaking.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting hearing you say that. It's almost like that phrase, everyone has a book inside them. It's very similar to everyone has a story to tell.
Exactly. And it's very important that people realize that sometimes the self-realization aspect is often evading a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you are so inclined or so intuned to the world in terms of your 9-to-5, in terms of your daily routines, your daily habits, that you forget that the asset in which you are and the personality and the character that you hold. And sometimes you have to look at it from a third party perspective and say, who I am today and what I've experienced in life can actually make a difference. And I think this whole journey that I've went through and the message that I share through the book, through Build Your Confidence on Stage, it's everybody has a story, everybody has a message, but it's all about how you're able to understand and realize that you have this message and what are the steps you need to take to be able to get yourself confident, get yourself stage ready, and get yourself into the mold or the mindset of almost like as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, as somebody who can strategize your approach so that you can impact the people and actually have a market and a business model behind it.
Definitely. And then sort of going on from that, speaking about the obstacles and what usually stops people from getting into public speaking, is it often confidence related? Because I mean, the thought of getting on a stage for me would be part of a nightmare I think I would have on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Is there anything people can do to start to overcome that sort of fear and anxiety that's so often sort of put with public speaking?
Yeah, because when you're looking at fear in itself, there are multiple layers to fear. And I think one of the core fundamentals or the core issues that it's related to is self-doubt and often what is called negative self-questioning. And the world of public speaking really falters in terms of people not having that courage or not having that confidence, because before they even step up onto a stage, they're asking themselves this question: can I do this? Which isn't wrong, which is fine. You know, can I speak on stage? Because they're trying to explore. That exploration phase is there. But the closer and closer and closer it gets to the time where they actually will be stepping up on stage, they turn this question of can I speak on stage into no, I can't speak on stage. So they turn it into a statement. And the elements of this negative self-questioning, negative statements, and self-doubt starts to creep in. Because the moment you start making these into a statement and realize that you are going to be feeling more anxious because you're telling yourself, you're putting this invisible brick wall in front of who you are and what you can do and what you think you can do, but then saying to yourself that you can't, this brick wall is what triggers your fight or flight response. And a lot of people will then have issues in terms of, you know, anxiety creeping in. They feel nervous, they'll feel scared, and tell themselves, no, this isn't for me, and then step back. And I think it's all to do with developing that level of courage. And I think when you're trying to explore, you need to identify the roots of where your vulnerabilities lie. And I think people don't often give themselves that opportunity to ask themselves, actually, what makes me feel vulnerable? What is it about me that actually makes me feel vulnerable, and what can I do to be able to overcome this? And sometimes when you're trying to explore these options, you learn so much about yourself in terms of, yes, I've realized that, you know, perhaps it's the thought that's making me feel vulnerable. Perhaps it's my internal courage that I don't have that's making me feel vulnerable. It's perhaps the people that I'm associated with that's making me feel vulnerable. So all of these are big issues that people need to take into considerations when they're thinking about public speaking or in general, because one of the first pillar that I talk about in the book is called the speaker psychology. And the speaker psychology looks into four key areas. First and foremost, as I explained, is self-doubt, these negative self-questioning. It also looks into things like low self-esteem. You know, when you have low self-esteem, you will be lacking confidence no matter what it is you do. And also the thought of being an introvert. Like, for example, I'm an introvert. And if someone was to tell me that, here, Sabrul, I'm going to present to you 100 people and I want you to go and present yourself, back in those days, I would be terrified. Why? Because having 200 eyes look at me and think that, you know, I'm going to be sharing a message that, yes, I might feel confident about the message I'm sharing, but I don't feel confident in who I am to be able to deliver that. You start doubting yourself, and this is where fear and anxiety creeps in. So it all starts with the idea and concept of self-discovery, understanding what are the roots or the causes that lead to you feeling this way. And when you start unearthing these, you realize the vulnerability is actually a state of mind. So your mindset. So I realized that when delivering a presentation or training on public speaking, a lot of people come to the training because they identified what their issue is. They know that they probably afraid of large audience. They're afraid of feedback. They're afraid of criticism. They're afraid of whatever it is. But they've chosen to come because they've understood and realized what this concern is. And then when they come, they're still doubting themselves. So when there's a group of, let's say, 10 people who have all come for the same reason, all come for the same opportunity to want to learn, they're on their phones, they're trying to hide themselves away, even though they have a common goal. And then when you get them to open up and speak up about themselves in terms of, you're all here for the same reason, because you're all afraid of public speaking, you're all here wanting to learn about public speaking, you're all here because you want to overcome the fear of public speaking, it almost as if it's a sigh of relief that they can all start communicating with one another. And when they start doing that, you would actually create this environment, this friendly circle around yourself, that actually it is possible because I'm not alone. And this is the world of public speaking, because in fact, a lot of people, majority of the people, no matter if you're a CEO of a top company, no matter if you're somebody who's just starting out in your first day job, everybody almost goes through this phase of having this fear, this anxiety that, can I speak and present on stage? But when you actually do it and you shift your mindset and you're actually presenting on stage, it's not as difficult as the fear itself. So overcoming the fear is initially about understanding what triggers it, and then actually giving things a try, learning the having the inspiration and the courage to do it, and then the theoretical aspect before you put in the practical elements.
I mean, in your experience, is sort of a fear of the crowd and being on stage, is that the most common thing that stops people, or am I just making
that assumption? It is one factor. You cannot define that fear, because obviously people are shaped in different ways. So it depends on how your self-esteem is. Some people have great self-esteem. They're really energetic, but they're afraid of large audiences. Others might have a fear in terms of just being on stage and presenting, and others will have very low confidence just from doing anything, in terms of whether it's going and stepping out of their home, speaking to a group of people. Like, for example, as I said, I'm an introvert, so me and large audiences, it doesn't work. So I had to learn how to reverse the role of what general audiences would be like. So instead of me, whenever I go to any event, even to date, whenever I go to an event, I wouldn't introduce myself one by one by one by one to a group of people. In fact, I realized that when I have a message to share and I believe so much in this message that I could go on stage and I could present, and then the opportunity comes to me. So it's not necessarily about fearing the large crowd. It's about fearing myself, but actually valuing the creativity that I have within me. And sometimes when you need to open yourself up and realize the asset that you are. And I think that's what helps you overcome these elements of vulnerability, because you see your vulnerabilities or you see your pain points as more of an asset than something holding you back. So it is very much psychological. It's a thought process. It's a mindset. It's something that you have to be able to overcome. And I talk about a lot of these elements in the book in terms of ways in which you are able to do that. And give examples in terms of if there was a certain scenario, if there was a certain situation, what has the character done and what can you do to be able to overcome that? So you don't turn these self-questioning into statements, because that is what triggers these fight or flight responses.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, you've mentioned it slightly previously, but speaking about speaker's mindset is something you go into quite a lot in the book. Can you talk a bit more about what it is and why it is so important to have that mindset when you get on stage?
Yeah, because with the speaker's mindset, I focus on three very important variables. And just to name them as an initial part of this discussion is, first and foremost, I call it the ABC structure of attitude. And I'll explain what this is in a bit. And secondly, it's about discovering your passion and your connection with the message. And thirdly, it's about serving your audience, because we have a lot of speakers, and I've been to so many events, we have a lot of speakers where you're going and presenting on stage and the mindset is not right. The intention is not right, purely on the basis that, yes, you might be there as a professional speaker, you're earning your bread and butter, that is your profession. But is that your sole reason that you're actually becoming a public speaker? Because anybody who says that that is their sole reason, that it's their way of life in terms of earning their money, for me, I am very skeptical, and I'm very against that, because public speaking is a way of serving, and it's very important to believe in that. And that's the third variable. And I think if I go back to the ABC structure of attitude, it talks about the connection. So for example, the A is the affective component, and that looks at the feelings and emotions about a specific subject. For example, you might have a fear of public speaking, and the B is what the behavioral component of that. And I think you want to, for example, you might avoid public speaking because if you're asked to speak on stage, you have a certain panic attack, or you're afraid of large audiences. And your cognitive component, which is the C element of that, is what you exactly do. So for example, is when the audience, for example, laughs at you when you're on stage. So your mind shifts. So when you have the affective component, behavioral component, cognitive components, and when they don't align, your attitude becomes very negative. Your attitude becomes a point where you feel that actually what I'm doing and who I want to become is not aligned with the speaker mindset. And when I talk about the speaker mindset, it's quite a holistic thing in terms of, it's not just about having that I want to become a speaker and I want to earn my money. I want to become a speaker, but I want to do it for these reasons. And having multiple layers which connects with your feelings, with emotions, that helps you identify the root and causes as to why you're doing it. And that's what links to passion. Because the passion, I think, connects with identity. And if you ask a question, for example, to somebody, what is your passion? Yeah. Or if somebody asked me this question, what is your passion? I wouldn't be able to say that public speaking alone is my passion. But the journey and the experience I've had and the impact that I create through public speaking is what defines my passion, because it links with my state of emotion and it links with my commitment to my goal. So people have to have this in their mindset that if they want to take public speaking or any career as a whole as their way of life, there's multiple layers to understanding why it is they're doing. And I think Simon Sinek explains the whole why factor very nicely. And I talk about that quite often, that you need to know why you're doing certain things in life to be able to understand your true connection between who you are and the message or what it is you're doing. And if you don't have that connection, if you don't have that connectivity with it, it's a problem, because then your behavioral component is not aligned to what you want to do. Your cognitive component might be something else. Your mind is thinking something else. Your feelings are not attached to this, and that way you don't feel happy. So there's no connection with the passion itself. So with the speaker mindset, you need to have all of these components, your affective component, your behavioral way of doing things, your mindset, all connected with public speaking and the passion. You have to feel passionate because it connects with your state of emotions and your goal. And thirdly, the willingness to serve. Like, for example, you can have an audience and they're all there trying to listen to a speech about aerodynamics or the speech about a banking, whatever it is that the topic is. But if you have no connection with that topic and you're going because you've been invited and you're going to be paid a couple of thousands of pounds or dollars to go and speak at that event, and you just accept it hastily because you've seen that money and you got dollars all over your eyes, I'm sorry. It's not going to work because A, you're not serving the audience. It's not aligned to who you are, your values, your ethos. So people have to be careful that whatever you industry, so it's not just a speaker mindset, it's a career mindset as a whole. So you can align to whatever industry. And I put it as the speaker mindset, obviously, purely on the basis that we're talking about the public speaking industry and build your confidence on stage, which is what the book is, which covers. So it's for me, it's a mindset that everyone has to adapt and adopt to whatever career. And I think as a speaker, if you want to take it long term as a profession, you need to adopt this to be able to know that who you are, the message in which you're delivering, the audience you're serving is in line with who you want to become and your own intrinsic passion and your desire to want to serve. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. I think the why is something that we so often forget to think about. It's so easy to kind of just get up every day and do the same thing and suddenly like 10 years have passed. how did I get here? And actually, as you said, in so many different industries, the why you do something is so important, especially in terms of your performance as well. If you don't know why you're doing something, what your purpose is, then I can imagine that would have a massive impact as well. Mm. I guess the speaker's mindset is part of the preparation or the planning before you sort of take on.
Yeah, of course. And I think it all falls under the first pillar, the speaker's psychology. And in the first pillar, I talk about the elements of fear, about this of a self-doubt. I talk about the speaker's mindset. And without any of these elements or components, you wouldn't be able to even think about the industry as a whole. You wouldn't be able to think about the theories behind it or the business model behind it. And I think a lot of people, when they're thinking about public speaking as a profession or whether it's any form of career path, they always miss out this psychological element that, are you ready? Are you mentally prepared? Are you mentally ready to be able to step into a new industry? You may have the knowledge in terms of one or two elements, or you may have certain characteristics that align you with it, but are you psychologically 100% ready to step foot in that industry, and have you overcome all the challenges internally to be able to say and say to yourself that I'm ready and this is my passion and this is going to be my way of life.
I mean, and talking about preparation, I mean, you often hear the phrase sort of, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. So planning obviously is part of the book as well, and something that everyone knows they should be doing before a presentation. But there's also a chapter in the book I found quite interesting about improvisation, which I imagine many, including I, would shy away from. Why is it important to be sort of ready to improvise, and how can people get ready for the unplanned when doing a presentation?
For example, you're given a presentation on stage about the subject of careers and empowering, let's say, the youth and that's something that I often do. And something, a piece of information has come on the news that the youth market, or they've invested, the government has decided to invest millions of pounds in the youth industry about apprenticeships as such. Mm-hmm. And your topic of conversation is talking about career opportunities, but apprenticeships was not part and parcel of your planning, your preparation, your rehearsals as such. And then throwing that in as part of your presentation helps you improvise. It helps you because you're able to take real live knowledge that it's not just a repeat speech in which you're giving, but you're taking on board concepts, you're taking on board ideas throughout from home to your journey to the event itself, and you're improvising on stage. You might have certain individuals with a certain dress code that triggers a certain memory that, oh, it's a funny joke to put in at this specific time. So you're improvising and telling this joke because you realize that it makes sense in this part of your presentation. So it's about finding these triggers during your presentation. Look, improvisation, not everybody will feel comfortable. A lot of people are often very much tuned to, yes, I'm going to stay to my, not necessarily a script. I don't believe in scripts, but I believe in having a structure to a presentation. You know what your A is going to be, B is going to be, and your C is going to be, and your conclusion is, and so on and so forth. But in between, you might find that people are really reacting well to your first message, that the core message you're delivering in your speech, that you need to add a bit more to it, a bit more spice, and give them a bit more from a past experience, which you didn't want to actually include in the presentation, but you feel it's relevant. So again, improvisation gives you that opportunity, that platform. As long as the time allows, and you've got, if it's a 20-minute presentation, make sure you stick within that time limit. But if you've got the time and you want to improvise, by all means, go for it. And I think it's a way of showing that this audience, you've adjusted to this audience specifically, and it's not just a repeat presentation. Like, I've given presentation which I've spoken multiple times as part of the Inspire 1 Million campaign. It was almost as if it was a repeat presentation I was giving to each country. But then what I realized a few trips down the line is that not every country is the same, and not every country has the same economics, the same level of ambition, or the same, the mindset is different. So I had to adjust there and then to understand, yes, there was research done prior to going to the country itself, but for that specific audience, young or old, I had to adjust the message, and sometimes improvisation helped on that front. So I think it's something that's vitally important, but it's not a necessity. I think it's a form of, when you're presenting on stage, that if you've got the confidence and courage, and I think the more you practice on stage and the more experience you get under your belt, the more you feel comfortable to throw in a joke, talk about a specific topic that relates to the now and the present, because that is what improvisation is all about.
And I suppose also with questions, if there are any questions, you have to kind of be ready for those on your toes answers as well.
Yeah, and I think with there's a thing about question and answer session as a public speaker, as a professional speaker, that a lot of speakers tend to, yes, deliver their presentation, and then you've got your 20-30 minute Q&A afterwards. Like, I'm not a big believer in that concept, purely on the basis that I would rather have it as a completely separate segment, which is because you've just landed with your key message, you've just delivered the your home run, and the idea of the message is to end it on an all-time high. And then when you begin to have a Q&A session afterwards, you almost take away that element, that home run, and everything comes back and it gets a bit messy. And sometimes people who are a little underprepared get a bit, stumped up. So you've raised yourself up in such a high profile as a speaker, but you fall short in the Q&A. But Q&A sessions are important, but as a separate segment. But yes, improvisation plays a big role during Q&A sessions, because you have to be prepared, and it tests your credibility. It tests your level of expertise. And I think when you are somebody who knows what they're talking about and can say it confidently and can say it well, it's important to be able to present that during your question and answers, because there might be a few pushbacks in terms of some people who don't agree with you or necessarily might have alternative views on it. So it's about remaining confident in your message and to be able to say that, yes, I appreciate your opinion. I value your thoughts and feedback. I will take that into consideration. But here is my way of doing things, and this is where I've actually put it into practice. So you give it with examples. So yes, Q&A sessions does give that opportunity for improvisation.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've never heard that before, but it's so true. You kind of have that big bang at the end, and then no one really remembers that much, because it's the questions really tend to be relevant for the people that have asked them. So I guess it's kind of like the impact is slightly fizzled out at that point as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't really want to give the whole book away because people need to buy it. But what are kind of some of the first steps, maybe in terms of like the practicalities of how someone would go into public speaking as a profession? Are there any for initial steps to start thinking about?
Well, the book is designed in a way where I put it as a learning journey. Because it's not something that you read and then you'll be able to, I'm going to become a professional speaker tomorrow. And that's why it's a learning journey. The journey aspect is so important, because I broke the book down into four pillars. The first pillar we spoke about during this interview, about the speaker psychology, the mindset. The second is all about the principles of public speaking. Now, when you're talking about the principles of public speaking, it's all about the beginner's elements. For example, having conversations, learning to feel confident during conversations, and understanding what the speaker's world is all about. So for example, the industry, how does it operate? Who are the sort of people involved in it? And how can you tap into that industry to learn more about it? And thirdly, it's the actual performance, the masterclass itself. So I call it a performance masterclass. And that's the third pillar. And that is where you start learning about the do's and don'ts, the rights and wrongs, the hows, how-tos of public speaking so that you can perfect your performance and know exactly the research elements behind the scenes of presenting, how you, when you are under the spotlight, or how you use your body language, your approach, your tone of voice, what is the, how you go about planning a presentation, the script writing, and so on and so forth. And then comes the business element. So once you've mastered the first three elements, the three pillars, the speaker psychology, the principle, the public speaking, and the performance masterclass, only then would I encourage people to then start thinking about profession. After you've given public speaking and have spoken on stage a few times and you feel it's in line with your passion, you feel it's in line with what you love to do. And for those who want to take that next step, as I say, everyone has a story to tell, and then there's somebody out there who will truly benefit from your message. And if you're able to tap into that market, this is where I, in the fourth pillar, the profession of a public speaker, I speak about the seven-step speaker strategy. And just to give you a brief highlight of what they cover, is first and foremost, as I say, about identifying your target, the ideal client, and knowing how you're going to serve them and how you aim to serve them, about the brand and personality, and developing credibility. That would be step two. And then it comes to the sales strategy, marketing, self-promotion strategy, talk about the pitch and sell, the conversion strategy, and growth as well. So these would be the seven steps that the book covers. And I think people need to give it a lot of energy and a lot of thought, but they should never rush it, because going into an industry, even if you are somebody experienced as a public speaker but have not turned it into a profession and are not earning, that you might have earned one or two from a couple of gigs that they're willing to pay you, but have not turned it into a lifestyle business, because that's what you have to see it as, a business. So business behind the scenes requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of effort, and it requires almost that day-to-day 24-hour running of a model, having a model that actually operates fundamentally so that you can reach out to your target audience. Things are automated, things are triggered, and you are there as the finished product who can, once you've got your conversion, you are able to stand on stage and deliver your message and wow. Because people don't necessarily know about the behind the scenes. Whether you're a public speaker, you're a theater performer, you're an actor, you're anybody on who actually does any sort of performance on stage or on TV, that's just the finished product that you're seeing. The work has been done behind the scenes. So what is that actual work? So this is what the learning journey that builds your confidence on stage actually takes you, to help transform anyone's aspiration for public speaking into a lifestyle profession.
It's the full package. So everyone now needs to go and get a copy.
Indeed.
Amazing. Thank you. I mean, lastly, for anyone that's interested in knowing more about you and your work, where can they find you?
Sure. So I'm accessible online. So for example, for the Build Your Confidence on Stage specifically, it's actually a much more broader vision than just the book alone, right? There is actually courses associated with public speaking with the books. In fact, a free course called Present with Confidence. So you can go onto the Build Your Confidence on Stage website. So buildyourconfidenceonstage.com to be able to access the free course. There will be multiple other courses coming, a flagship course for those who want to turn, after they've read the book, want to turn their aspiration into a lifestyle profession, what is the course steps you take? And I work with them on that, and there's coaching elements involved as well. So you can also reach me on social media. There's a Build Your Confidence on Stage YouTube channel, and Facebook, on Twitter and LinkedIn, all of those, or you can reach me directly through my personal website, sabirulislam.co.uk.
Brilliant. I mean, you've thought of everything.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for joining us today. That was really great. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for more information about new books, experts' opinions, and more podcasts with experts such as Sabirul Islam. See you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.